It is April 22nd, 2014. Middle of the week, Bible study at Omega Ministries. Hope everybody's doing okay. Hope everybody's abiding in the vine. Because one thing's for certain, you cannot put any hope or trust in the world whatsoever. So, given that, what we're going to talk about tonight is just a question: what makes the world tick? What makes the world tick? Because this place is totally bizarre. It's hard to even fathom how anything gets accomplished, how businesses are run, how airplanes stay in the sky, how people, the majority of people, get home safely from work after driving, you know, 30 or 40 miles each way to work in the midst of mental strain and people driving drunk and people on prescription drugs. The world's a very, very strange place these days. So we got to really take a good look at what's going on here and what is this all about. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, we just thank you for another day, Lord, that we can get closer to you, Lord, to get a better understanding and a better understanding of how our relationship with you is and how that relationship is forming as we just sit around and just sometimes scratch our heads looking at the world. We get so much information thrown at us, God, and it's clearly time to just settle this thing and just quiet every voice that's against you, that's coming at our minds. Bind every devil of distraction and every demon that tries to sow chaos and animosity in any atmosphere. Lord, just quicken your word to our hearts to stabilize us, to anchor us on the rock that is our Lord and our Savior and our very fortress of salvation, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for bringing your word alive to us and through us, Lord, as we endeavor to seek out every nuance and destroy every remnant of the old Adamic Sodomite nature that just plagues us. It plagues our minds. It plagues our souls. And Lord, we just want to be free to rest. But Lord, we realize that there's a task at hand that's the responsibility of every believing Christian to partake in the works to destroy Satan. Jesus Christ is raising up a bride. He's calling forth a bride and an army. And God, we want to be in that army. And we thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what makes the world tick? You know, there's I think it was a Broadway play that it answered the question in one sense. And I think it's fairly accurate. But there was a song that this play had. It was called Money Makes the World Go Round. But there's more to it than just that. But that's the primary mechanism behind what drives the world is money. Because every person that's going through the process of getting an education, going through all the various stages of education, go eventually through college to get a degree so that you can get a foothold in a corporation somewhere and establish yourself, succeed, make money. But it's just not that simple anymore, because now there's just too much flowing out at people in terms of stuff we got to have. And there's the drive to have all this stuff that's literally driving people insane. It's an insatiable desire to be able to keep up with the Joneses. And that's all you ever see when you turn on the television. is just an inundation with beauty, with something that makes you feel good, something that's just so enticing, this beautiful BMW. The food is just so gourmet and delicious looking. You know, even the junk food. They even can make McDonald's look appealing on TV. And it's all fake. You know, they set up these stages for hours, and they have this food that's, I don't even know if it's real. But it's like, you know, you figure it's just like they do with a model sitting down for a photo shoot. She gets all primped up, and they're doing this to a hamburger, you know, getting it all primped up and looking just right and getting the beads of water to just be in the right spot on the lettuce, and the steam is just right, everything's just perfect, and there we have it. It's a quarter pounder from McDonald's. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it luscious? And then you go to McDonald's and you buy a quarter pounder and you get this smashed up, runny, greasy, dried up bread thing. And it's like, that's not what I saw on TV. I don't get this. What is this? So at the end of the day, you just have to look at the world and go, you know what? This isn't even real. This junk is not real. We're being, it's like the old carrot in front of the horse. And the horse is pulling this huge cart, just laden down with all kinds of burdens and weight and drama and tribulation. And the horse is still just trying to get this carrot. So he just keeps going, trying to get the carrot that's dangling in front of his eyes. And it's all just futility. So we have the Bible. We believe the Bible. I personally look at it this way. I see the Bible as an instruction manual or even an escape manual that God has given to us as a conduit to be able to become one with Him. And the process of becoming one with Him is through the transformation of the mind. So we have the Bible, we have the ability to read the Bible, but you have to be able to have the ability to understand the Bible. And that can only come through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can only come by way of a contrite and broken down heart, a human being that has finally seen the end of himself, finally realized that, you know what, however long you've lived your life, be it 20, today it doesn't even have to take that long, because these kids are going through so much with what the world is throwing at them to try to get them to perform and to try to get them to look a certain way, and it's all just about being selfish and into yourselves. So really, whereas somebody 20, 30, 40 years ago as an 18, 19-year-old kid really didn't have that much pressure. You know, they were just finishing school, going on to the next phase of life. And, you know, you'd go down to the roller rink or the ice rink on Friday or Saturday night. And, it wasn't that complicated. But now you got these clubs that are just so wild and raves and all this crazy stuff that people are doing, and now they've got you're doing a vape, you got vapes, you got all these legalized things that can give you a buzz, which is just some sort of like a quick intoxication that you can legally buy now. So, and they're scarfing down Red Bulls and Monster drinks to try to stay awake to get to the next event or the next thing in their lives. So at that point, now you're looking at 18, 19, 20-year-olds, and they're like stressed out. They're almost to the point now where they're like at the place where a 50-some-old person would be. Is like, you know, you're on, you know, the mid-side of 50 or so, pushing 60, and then you start really realizing, hey, I'm getting down to the end of this road, you know? I mean, I don't know how much longer I have to go, especially if you've got some sort of health problems. And there are just so many people that have just chronic health problems, one thing after the other, always going to the doctor, always going to the pharmacy to get prescriptions, always just being inundated with bad news and another report from the doctor. And it's just like, what is going on here? What is really going on here? We never saw this stuff when I was a kid. My parents and my grandparents, you didn't have all this drama with all these diseases and all these drugs and all this stuff. This is really evil, what's going on down here. And, you know, it's just, a lot of it has to do with curses. That's something that I kind of, looking back on the last couple of messages that I've put forth here, and I kind of had this theme going of three sort of prominent features of what we're dealing with in terms of this warfare that we're in. That being, you know, the satanic hierarchy, which is dealing with the world, the flesh, and then the demons, which is the spiritual aspect of this war. And you know, the soul itself is a spiritual matter, but then you've got to actually fight against physical responses that are in the environment and things that are coming at you that you actually can see with, you know, with your senses. You can see, you can smell, you can taste, you can touch. And then the feeling, that's the spiritual nuance of this thing, is that thing that you actually can feel, whether it be good or bad, and you respond accordingly. But the problem is, these emotions are deceptive, because a lot of the times, if not most times, especially when you're dealing with people that really have not turned themselves over to the Lord, you're dealing with just a deception. You're dealing with a spirit that's inspiring, but it's a deceptive or lying spirit or an unclean spirit. And the world and the atmosphere is inundated with spiritual forces. And that's what we're fighting against. And their focus is attacking our minds. But there was one aspect of the demonic that didn't really talk about, but we got to really deal with. And it's a deep subject, because it's so, I mean, even to be able to teach and understand how, you know, demons operate, because you're talking about something that it's hard to really get your mind around where they even came from. You know, we've got some suppositions and our best take on it in terms of what happened at the time of Noah's Ark, at the time of when mankind was in its infant stage, and what we read about in Genesis chapter 6, where these fallen angels literally came to earth and, you know, they interacted with humans. And you can see this in the TV, the movies. Somebody mentioned Thor, the movie Thor, and the whole storyline was that Thor and his father were in this kingdom on this other planet outside of the Earth's solar system, and somehow through some portal, Thor was brought to Earth, and he ended up falling in love with this woman from Earth, and he made the decision that he was just going to yield his place of residence on Asgarth or whatever it was called, and he was going to be with this woman. And his father was like, see you later, sayonara, you know. But I mean, this stuff is being thrown at our faces, and that's the trick, is that a lot of it is based in truth. You know, people talk about speaking in tongues. Somebody, you know, we get a lot of emails that come our way, a pretty steady stream of emails, And sometimes, you know, you can get a little bit out of some of it. Other times, it's wacky stuff. And then other times, it's, you know, you get some good stuff. You get, you know, prayer requests and whatnot. People are really going through some rough stuff out there, you know. And we got to pray for people. That's why it's imperative to, you know, you got to seek the Lord for how and who you're supposed to pray for and what you're supposed to pray about. Because nobody can just really tell you. You know, we can throw up generic reminders about certain things, but you have to really have your own prayer list or, you know, so to speak, just something that you know the Lord puts on your heart. And you got to want it. Because, you know, I tell you, especially when you're dealing with kids living in this world today, man, if you can't even just cry out, literally cry for your own kids and pray to God and just weep before the Lord about your own kids, then man, you better sit down and just, okay, what? I can't even weep for my own kids. How am I supposed to be like Jesus was weeping for, you know, people in Jerusalem, where Jesus wept because of the compassion that he had for the people. And when you can have that mindset to where you've got a true, sincere compassion for your own kids, and it's really easy to extend that beyond your own family. It really is, because when you see people in everyday life and you talk to people and you can just feel the tension, the pain in some cases, the anger, whatever the case is, man, you just sit there and you go, God, help, please help these people. This is terrible what's being done. And it's all satanic. This is all satanic. But curses are the things that is just so, I mean, to really, we got to really look at what's going on with the fact that a lot of what we're dealing with in the world is due to curses. A lot of the things that plague you and I and everybody has to do with curses, bloodline curses. Now, there's no getting around that the world is cursed. People have been cursed. Witches put curses on people. Warlocks put curses on people. This is real. This stuff really happens. The Lord commands us to bless and curse not. But when you're dealing with spiritual entities, and I'm not saying that I'm disagreeing with the Lord, but this is just basic understanding of how we deal with things in this war. You're not going to curse a person or anything like that. That's what he's speaking of. But you got enemies that are cursing you. You got to fight. And the warfare is fought with words. And we really got to just amplify this and really get an understanding of, and the truth of the matter is that a lot of people are just going to leave here with whatever it is that's been put on us, whether it's a bloodline curse. To me, those are the ones that are really just the ones that all you can do is cry out to God. A lot of people are dealing with curses that are put on them by witches and warlocks. For example, somebody having their husband or their wife is having an affair with somebody that's a witch, and that's trying to purposely put a curse on that family to try to break up the marriage or something like that. That's a curse. Those are the things that, man, we should be able to get a grip on those and just grab those things by the throat and just bind them and just cast them away in the name of Jesus Christ, in the authority that he gave us to proclaim, to help set people free. As far as like things like hereditary diseases, this is so demonic and it's so deep. But all you can do is just keep crying out to God and pray for these things to be lifted off of people. And, you know, then you've the other side of the coin, thankfully, is blessings. You know, you have blessings. People are blessed. And man, when you're blessed by God, there's just, you know, there's just nothing that can, you know, Jesus said that, you know, he opens up a door, any door that no man can open. He shuts things that no man can shut. He opens things that no man can shut. He closes things that no man can open. Man, when you're blessed by God, then that's just like, you know, thank you, Lord. But then, you know, there's just so many people in this world that are just not, the blessing is just not there. It's just not actualized because there's so much evil in the way, in their lives, in their bloodline. And that's where the church has to really come to stature, to stand and make war against these enemies so that these people can be delivered and really see the glory of the Lord. The church is going to be the glory of the Lord because that's the church is the manifestation of Jesus Christ. At the end of this age, the church will rise up. I should say we're going to rise up as manifested sons according to what the Bible says in the end of the age. And the Bible says that there was a latter rain, which is equivalent to what happened at the day of Pentecost when the church was born. That was the birthing of the church. The latter rain, which is that spring seed, that early season seed. And then you've got the former rain, which is the end of the age, which is the harvest at the end of the summer. That's where this is going. And that is so simple to understand from scriptures, and people want to refute that. And that's where you just say, oh well, we're here for people that want to hear this. This is for people that have ears to hear. That's what we're here for. And the Bible is just, like I said, it's an escape manual, and it's also like a treasure map. You know, we've got to be able, if you look at somebody gave you a treasure map and there's directions and instructions on this treasure that's buried somewhere, you look at that thing just like you would with an instruction manual. You have to look at it, you have to study it, you have to read it, you have to go over and over and over, and you're writing things down and making notes. You got to connect the dots, so you're making a note about this thing over here and see how it correlates to this over here. You got notes and you're comparing your stuff and you're looking at all this stuff. And then at some point, though, you actually have to go out and hunt down that treasure. Go out and execute everything that you learned from your studies and go out and uncover that treasure. And that's what we're here for. This is a process, and there is an appointed time, and it's close. The thing is winding down. You know, it's going so fast now that it's really incredible how fast time's going, and that is the absolute proof that it's running out. It just has to be. That's the way it is. So, what makes the world tick? And so, I partially answered that by the phrase that went, money makes the world go round. Money makes the world go round, the world go round. Okay, that's my Broadway voice there. So, what is it about the world? What is money? You know, that's where, just if you just sit down logically and analyze it, I mean, what is money? Where does it come from? How did it get where it is? How has it attained certain values? Why has it attained certain values? Why is money different value in one country, and then when you translate it convert it into your local currency, you get more or you get less depending on the country? It's like, how is that? What is all that? Man, the world is such a complicated, bizarre place. But when the rubber meets the road, they just made this up. They just make it up. the United States and the currency that we have is just, it's made up. It's not even backed by gold. You might have had some viability back in the early part of the 20th century and the 19th and 18th century beyond, where it was actually backed by gold and it had something that was actually behind it, where it's like if that note that you had, if something happened, there was actually gold that somebody could present and say, okay, here's what we have. This is what's behind this currency. But now it's not. I mean, you look at your dollar bill and it just says, literally, it's a note. It's a promissory note that has a value that's appended to it. And this is all made up. It's like mankind has just come up with this whole system. And it's all just skewed and psychotic. And it's just vain. And it's pointless. Because it's not really accomplishing anything. But the world just keeps spinning. It just keeps going and going and going. So what is behind this? Well, this is where the Bible tells us. The Bible just tells us, and it's easy to understand. You just have to want to be able to understand this. So right now, we're going to go into the Bible and just look at it, keeping in mind, you know, what is it that makes the world tick? You know, what is going on down here? All the different corporations. You know, these corporations that are running the show today are so vast in the money that they make. I mean, you're talking billions and billions of dollars. People are living so lavishly. The people that are running these corporations, the big boys, the big money boys, the big banker boys, the big software boys like the boys at Google and these guys and Apple and Microsoft, these guys are at the higher echelon of the financial stratosphere, and they got more money than they know what they can do with. And there's just so many problems on this earth, but yet there's so much money being handed around day after day after day, legally and illegally, probably more so illegally, with all the sex trafficking and drug trafficking and mercenary arms trafficking and all that kind of stuff. Man, we're just in an evil place. It's just, you just got to settle it in your heart that the world is evil. The whole world lies in wickedness, the Bible says. That's just the way it is. The whole world lies in wickedness. So what's the mission of Christians? I'll tell you what it's not. It's not to try to change this. The mission for a Christian is to not change this. Not today. It's 2015. I know maybe I even said April 22nd, 2014. I don't know if I did or not. For some reason, I was thinking sometimes you don't even know what time it is, you know, let alone the year. But it's 2015, okay? It just seemed like 5 minutes ago, it was the turn of the century, the year 2000, and it was like the new millennium, and it's 15 years later, just like that. And this thing is clocking down to a rapid closure. So tonight we'll start off in 1 Timothy. Because there's some entity that is ruling the world. There's a system that governs the world. And right now, it's got a stranglehold on the real body of Christ, the false presentation of Christianity, and any other religion that you can name is just billowing in money. But the real gospel sits here in stalled out mode. It's stalled out. And that's a lot of that has to do with the mind hasn't kicked into gear yet. There's people, lots of people that believe the gospel and they understand what's at stake. But but their minds just have not kicked in. Because deep down in the recesses of the human heart, people know that this is going to cost me my life. And people are afraid. People are afraid that it's going to cost me my life. And that's why you can't be afraid of this. That's like you cannot. You have to get to a place where you're just so sick of the world that I really don't care anymore. Yeah, and it's not suicidal. It's not anything stupid like that. It's just that I have nothing down here. There's nothing for me here anymore. When you look at the world, and you know the Bible, just like I just said, the Bible says the whole world lies in wickedness. Especially today, it's just rampant homosexuality, bestiality, pedophilia, drug addiction. It's just terrible. This is terrible. So why try to sustain it? Why try to find a happy little corner in it? Because it's a miserable place. People are in misery, and the church is here to end this because Jesus is coming back to end this. What's wrong with that? That should make every Christian just raise up both hands and say, "Yes, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, quickly." People run a good game. People talk a lot of talk, but they don't want Jesus coming back because they love this world too much. Sometimes I sit there and scratch my head. Somebody makes a nice statement about Jesus coming back, and somebody on Facebook, and there's like, yeah, this is, you know, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we know that, you know, the Antichrist and all this stuff. And then, here, read this book. We have a book at our ministry called The Organic Gospel. We're soon to have a website to try to get it out there, to get out, you know, we'll have a landing page. Hopefully it'll get out into some search engines. You know, but all this stuff costs money, okay? This costs money. People, we have to have money for this, you know, to get, even just to get the ministry out there. You have to pay money in order for Google to pick it up and Facebook and all these different ad campaigns that you can join to give your websites exposure. What is wrong with this? You know, what is wrong with this picture? You know, people donate stuff to Goodwill all the time. Like I said the other day, people start up a GoFundMe campaign for somebody that they don't even know in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and they'll just donate to that because it tugs on their heartstrings, you know. Why doesn't this tug on your heartstrings? Why doesn't the plight of human beings tug on your heartstrings enough to join a campaign that's willing to step up and do something about it? Don't despise small beginnings. But at some point, we got to go. We have to go at some point. So come on, let's go. Let's get with the program here. But the Organic Gospel. Now, having read the Organic Gospel, this to me, it's like it's Bible 101. This is the most fundamental, informational, absolutely truthful presentation that you're going to find about the very core of human growth, about life on earth and how life with Jesus Christ is organically grown. It's just not something that you confess with your mouth and then you go to a weekly club meeting and listen to some songs and listen to a 25-minute sermon. And then, you know, you clap and feel good. And then you go back to whatever it is you do. And then you look forward to the next club meeting. And you go to that. And it's the same old, same old. Basically, that's junk. The church that we know, for all intents and purposes, that everybody is a partaker of in the mainstream of the world, is just junk. And that's because that people that are in it are basically just junkies. So junkies like junk. So they go get their fix every week. And, you know, did you hear the message of the pastor's? That was an awesome message. He really hit me. He got me. That was confirmation from the Lord. You know, all this religious talk. It's like, what is anybody actually doing? We got to actually at some point do something. So we got to dig up. We got to dig up this treasure and get a move on. We got to get a move on, like my pappy used to say. Get a move on. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine are not blasphemed. So, talking about slaves that are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor. So Paul's dealing with something that was germane to that time of the world back in the Roman Empire, where there were still a lot of people that were enslaved. So he's dealing with people that were actually born again slave masters, and also slaves that were born again. So he's admonishing the slaves to not look down their nose at their masters, because when you think about it, slavery is a curse. Okay, now if you have a slave master that really knows the Lord, then he's going to understand that. Maybe the slave doesn't, because there's still, you know, we're fighting off all kinds of side effects of curses and things like that. That's why people are just kind of sometimes feeble-minded. They're just slow-footed. They're just not, you know, just a couple of bricks short of a load and that kind of thing. This is all part of, because there's curses that we got to deal with. I mean, we got to remember that. That's why you just can't be just jumping down people's throats about things. Because, man, people are dealing with some stuff that's so supernatural that a lot of times we'll just never be able to understand it. We just need Jesus front and center. Because I know when He's here, man, this slate is going to be clean. This is going to be one clean slate. And you talk about a fresh start. You talk about a fresh start. But for now, you got to just have an understanding. You know, slavery is a curse. So we're dealing with, and also the fact that, you know, the slave masters, you know, if they were to just let the slaves go, they might not have been able to survive. So, you know, people that are born again, for the most time, when you're really hearing from the Lord, He'll tell you what to do. And if you're obedient, then you'll do it, and that's just how it's supposed to pan out. But we look at it, you know, from here, sitting here 2015, 2,000 some odd years ago, and people will try to combat the scriptures to try to say, well, look at that. He's dealing with slaves. These people were, they had slaves. You know, that's just archaic and ancient. What kind of compassion is that, where they had slaves? And he's talking about slaves, masters dealing with his slaves. Because that's a carnal mind that doesn't understand history. They just don't understand life. Okay? And that's just how it is. So, count their own masters worthy of all honor. And, you know, in a sense, you could kind of transfer that to today. Because most of us are slaves in a sense, because we're going to the corporation every day doing what we got to do. So you got to make that same application and not be disrespectful to your supervisor / slave master, and work as unto the Lord. You know, you just can't be complaining at your job. And that's what people do so much now, right out there in public, just complaining about, this place don't even know how to organize anything. You know, basically what they're saying is, I should be in charge. It's like, well, why don't you put in for it? Why don't you just put your boots to the grindstone, put your nose to the grindstone, and get that promotion, and then run the show. And then you can do it right. Right? But People just like to complain. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Now, if any man teaches otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of words, whereof comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. So, what Paul's saying, this is real. This is really how it is. He's saying, what we're saying is true. What we believe is true. This is the doctrine of the apostles. This is what was handed down from Jesus himself to us. This is the only thing there is that's right. So, if any man teaches otherwise to what we're teaching, they're not consenting even to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. And therefore, because they don't adhere to what we're teaching, this sound doctrine, they are proud. So this applies to anybody that is in, you know, people that you know in your life that just do not see it your way. And these could be people that just claim to believe in the Lord and know the Bible, and they just do not agree with you. There's just something that's just not right. There's just something that's in the way. We're not seeing eye to eye here. That is impossible. How could two walk together lest they be agreed? Man, this right here, they're proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of words, whereof comes envy, strife, railings, evil, blasphemies. Perverse disputings, perverted disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. I just saw a video tonight about Creflo Dollar responding to all the hubbub that's come across the wire over the last month or few weeks about him wanting a $65 million Learjet. I've watched a little bit of it, and you got to be going, this guy is losing, if he's not lost his mind, he's losing his mind. If he hadn't lost it yet, he's losing his mind. Thinking that all they talk about, 70% of the time, they're talking about money in those types of congregations. World Changers, the Copelands, the Fred Prices, all these people, money cometh, all that stuff is delusional. Creflo Dollar's losing his mind. He's absolutely losing his mind. I was on sabbatical, after I got back from my sabbatical, I heard all this stuff. I mean, come on. Unbelievable. Almost unbelievable. But that's what it is. That's what Paul's saying. Those that suppose that gain, that getting physical things that you acquire, be it money, be it possessions, that equates to godliness. Because God's, then Creflo starts going on about, I'm just going to dream. There ain't nothing in this Bible that says I can't dream. I'm dreaming because, hey, when they say that they got discovered life on Mars, then, hey, I'm going to need me a $1 billion space shuttle, and I'm going to dream for that. There ain't nothing nobody can tell me I can't dream. That's delusional. So now you got all these people, and this just plays right into the devil's hands, because all on the trail, you got people out there that are talking about, God's dream, and dreaming God's dream, and you just dream of this is a fallacy. We got to deal with reality, man. We ain't got time for dreams. You can dream at night, but then you got to wake up. out of your sleep, out of your stupor, and get back into reality. Because this ain't no dream world. That's crazy talk there. So, Paul tells us to withdraw ourselves from that. When you hear anybody preaching like that, you best withdraw. Now, this is the Bible. Okay, this ain't me having some axe to grind with Kerfo Dollar or any of these guys that have money. No problem with that. Who cares if you got money? But you better have attained to it lawfully. Because if you got all that money because you're preaching under stealth pretenses, you know, that's how slick it is. Well, I never asked anybody to give me money. I never asked anybody to give me money for an airplane. All these years, you've been coercing people to pay a tithe, making it an obligation. Yeah, you never really asked them, but you sorcerized them. You mesmerized them. You bewitched them. There's a difference. Don't try to come off like, well, I never asked anybody for this. And then don't come back and say, well, just because you asked for something. No, look, that's in the scriptures too. You can see where the apostles at some point says, hey, we have need for this situation here. We got to have some payola. We got to have some green. You know, whatever the case is, if it's money or food or whatever it is, we got a need here. We got a want. Let's make it known. And where's the saints? And you should full well know that somebody should be snapping too. Some saint within earshot should be going, yep, hip 10, huh? Yep, yes, sir. I got something for you right here. I got it right here. I've been sitting on this, waiting for the appropriate time. I mean, this isn't that complicated, you guys. Okay, but the contrast to this perverse disputing and this false doctrine of prosperity is that in verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. I mean, that is just flatline truth right there. Okay, you could not even control the fact that you were born. You had no control over it whatsoever. You had no say in the matter. I was just born. Okay, so don't have a chip on your shoulder. God had a plan. God has a plan. He has a reason. He does stuff. He's God. That's just how it is. So don't be copping out to, well, I didn't ask to be born. You better count your blessings while you can. So, you born naked. You ain't never seen anybody leave here outside of that grave. So, naked you came in. You might have some clothes on, you know, in your grave, but you ain't taking that stuff with you. Whatever else they pile in your grave, in your casket, you're not taking that with you either. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So that's really all you need to be content in life. I got some food and I got some clothes. And, you know, that would also include somewhere to live. But at least you got covering. Even if you're out on the road traveling, you got someplace to... The Lord will cover you. I mean, raiment, that covers covering, literally. It covers covering. So clothes to cover your body, covering as in something to keep you dry, keep you out of the weather. You got that and some food. What else do you need? I mean, do we really need HBO? Do we really need... Sometimes I'm like, do we even need cell phones? You know, do I really need a cell phone? Do I need internet? Yes, I do need internet. Okay, but I could use Skype. Then all I need is to be on a wireless connection, and I can make phone calls. I can call anywhere in the world on Skype. Skype's $4. I pay $4 a month for an account to call anywhere in the United States, any toll-free number. And, you know, it's not that much more to pay for versus, you know, $200 for a family plan for a cell phone. But are we content? But, you know, hey, we are in the 20th century. The thing is not to be covetous of the stuff. That's the key. That's the key. And really, it's getting to the place now where people are getting, we're getting tired of this. So stuff's dropping out of your system, and the Lord will, you know, when push comes to shove, you'll be able to just say, okay, get rid of that, get rid of that, get rid of that, get rid of that, and you don't even think twice about it. He's like, you already know, I can live without this. I don't care. But they that will be rich, that want to be rich, that desire to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So Paul's not only, he's making two very interesting points here. First of all, being that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, of all evil. Love of money is the root of all evil on this earth, okay? In this earth, in this world, the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's really what makes the world go round. That's what makes the world tick, is money and the love of it. That's the whole world lies in wickedness, remember. And it's the root of all evil. But then, he's appending another interesting point here, which is, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. So this is people in the faith, people that were believing Christians, that coveted after money. And they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They may not know that they're in sorrow right now, but the time's coming, if they continue in those ways, it's going to be very sorrowful. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses, confessing, that word is homologos, which is you're basically in agreement with the Lord. You're saying the same thing that's been handed down from our Lord himself, through the apostles, through the church age, through all the churches, through all the those that truly believe the truth. Thankfully, that has never left the planet. There have always been people that have preached the truth. And it's few and far in between. But hey, we're bringing it to the world's attention. We're going to bring this to the world's attention. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Now, I mean, this is, he's talking to now rich people. Rich people that see the light. It's like, hey, spread the wealth. I mean, you know where it has to go. Let's go. There's people out there I know good and well. We're just waiting for the light switch to go off. Because there ain't no time like the present, you know? Laying up in store for them, this is what is the bestowed on them for doing good works, willing to distribute, willing to communicate, to share the wealth, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, which is the end of the age, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, which is the literal translation is the antithesis of knowledge. Literally, the word for oppositions is antithesis. And the word for science is actually gnosis, which is knowledge. I don't know why they translated that to science, but it's knowledge. So don't avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of knowledge, which is the gospel, oppositions to the truth, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. So there are people that are back in Paul's day, and you know good and well that it's been on the increase. Here we are today. People that are professing the Word, that are professing the Bible, but they have erred concerning the faith. They have strayed. John also wrote about the fact that there is a spirit of error. A spirit of error. And it's prominent. It is absolutely just a hodgepodge of confusing, demonic doctrines out there, teaching people. And the whole world is being run on money. And it's the love of money. It's all lust. And when we get to the end, we'll see. This is so easy to understand. We've been preaching this and teaching this for years and years and years. And it hasn't changed. It's still true. But it's just getting the blinders lifted off of people so they actually can see it. This is something that you can see it, but yet you can't see it. It's an invisible system that we live in. It's like in the book of Revelation, he talked about the Lord, he who was and is to come. And then he also in that same thought process spoke about the beast system, this thing that it is and it was and it lives again. It's a system. It's a living entity. The world systems is a living entity. And you just look at it and you look at a picture of the financial district in New York. You look at a movie and it's got the helicopter shot with, flying in over the harbor and into New York, and it's this vast metropolitan area, and it's just like, it's just the world, and it's just, it's just a machine, and you can see that part of it. But what you can't see is the underlying spiritual aspect of it, which is this beast system, which is running this world on the love of money. That's what's making the world go round. And then when you can understand really what is on top of this thing, then you can start realizing, man, we need the Lord. We're in such a crazy place. This isn't just guys in offices, sending emails and writing memos and having press conferences and conference calls and whatnot. Man, we're dealing with high-level supernatural beings that have basically been manipulating the whole world and the systems of the world for eons. But where's the church in all this? Where's the church in all this? Let's take a look at Amos. Amos chapter 7. Amos. Amos chapter 7. After Joel comes Amos. Let's go, we're going to go into...